Yes, yes, the boys are back in town. The DL debate is back. Falcha, falcha, gadinha, go G and DL debate. They miss you, Brennan O'Donnell, and shot a Highland Radio. Cade Mila Falcha Road Irish. Go Shisser or Den DL debate. So a thousand welcomes to everyone to the new season of the DL debate. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks, of course, there to Donal Kavanagh for the news. Ivan Borland for the Power R Plus. What a gent Ivan is. Always great to catch up with him when you come up here on the Monday evening. We have the main man himself, Joe Dex. He is, of course, a top DJ and, of course, good voiceover man. Know what I mean, Shem? That's how he talks normally. But he's got a special voiceover voice. You hear him there. That's the sound of Brendan Kilcoyne in the background there. We're going to tune in with Ryan Ferry here shortly as well. Folks, first of all, I just want to thank Sister Sarah's for coming on board this year. Season 6 of the DL debate. Thanks everyone for who contributed up in this year. And listen, if there's anything like last year, we're in for some serious thrills and spills. But again, I want to really thank Kieran Brogan and all down Michael and all the crew at Sister Sarah's for their ongoing sponsorship. They were there from the start. They helped the show get off the ground, and here we are 6 years later. It's going from strength to strength. So whether it be a football match for a few beers or you want to head out for a bite to eat, there's nowhere better than Sister Sarah's. Maybe a wee romantic evening. Pauline tells me you're quite romantic there, Brendan. Maybe
I can be at times, Brendan. Yeah,
yeah, listen, I like that you admit it. Don't hide from it.
No.
We have another man on the line. The Ryan line. Some of you will remember what the Ryan line was. We have one now direct to the one and only Ryan Ferry. Ryan, you hearing us?
Sure am, Brendan. I am indeed.
Do you remember who the Ryan line was?
I do now. Like, probably a wee bit before my time, but I know who you're on about, all right.
Yeah, the old 2FM slot, Brendan. You would have been
tuning in. Oh, I remember it while tuning in, yeah.
Yeah.
Good old
yeah.
Jerry Ryan.
Jerry, boy, he was a character, wasn't he? Folks, yeah, listen, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to kick off the show with the two lads. Later on, we're going to hear from Michael McMullen. We're going to do a bit of a preview into the National Leagues. And then Brendan's going to stay with us. And then I'm going to chat to Niall Cleary, a Setanta man, a former county star, now involved actually with the Derry, coaching for the Derry County Hurlers. Of course, they beat Donegal with a last-minute goal in the McGurk Cup at the weekend. So Niall's going to be on later in the show. But first of all, we're kicking off here. Brendan, you know, people were worried about a wee bit of a maybe an All-Ireland hangover. It certainly doesn't look that way. And very exciting McKenna Cup for Donegal. And everybody, what about the McKenna Cup? Why does it matter? You know, but the way Donegal have acted in it with the new players they've unearthed, it's really looked good in terms of coming into this new season.
Oh, certainly, Brendan, yeah. And you can only imagine that Jim McGuinness and his management team be really happy with the way it transpired over the last, like, three games in the space of 6 days. Was fairly heavy going, but the amount of time that he got into, you know, various players across, and, you know, you were talking about the young fellas coming through there, and that was really pleasing. Like, they can be really happy with the way they performed over the 3 days, so they can have that, there's no doubt. But also getting key minutes into, you know, some of the more experienced players. For me, big Jason McGee back in the middle of the park is huge for Donegal, to have him fit and firing and playing well. And obviously Hugh McFadden is driving the whole thing forward, you know, the usual enthusiasm. And another big positive for me, Brendan, was Gavin Mulroney's form over the three games. I was very, very impressed with him. He was probably the only player, I think, that played the full 360s, so he was. And I thought he was very good over the three games.
Kicking. He's phenomenal. Every time I see him for Donegal or for St. Noel's, he's deadly from the ground too, isn't he?
He's super kick. You feel very confident standing over any ball 45 yards out that he's going to knock it over. He got two on Saturday evening, and unlucky to hit the upright with another one. I put the Commerce Taters cursing him then with the last one and with the last one he hit. But yeah, the young fellas coming through have been fantastic. Like Thurlock Carr playing 11 centre-half forward. Just, I love the way he demands the ball. He just wants that ball to be on the ball all the time, playing with the head up, looking to see if there's anything on. And we were chatting it off here, Brendan, last night, kind of thing about, you know, hitting ball into the full forward line. He wants to do that all the time, but it's not that simple, so it isn't to get them kind of balls in. But any time he tried it, it was fairly good. And Max Campbell, of course, Shane Malone, like 2-1 and Saturday night, just plays with such confidence and freedom, so he does, you know. So huge positives from Donegal. I think two big Kieran Gallagher, you know, can be happy with his week's input. Didn't go probably to plan for him on Wednesday night against Derry, but thought he did really well on Saturday again. And we know the importance of having big men around that middle third, Brendan, for kickouts. And, you know, so his continued development will be interesting to see. And, you know, a lot of these players now can go into the National League with a lot of confidence under their belt that they have competed. Now, listen, it's early days, Brendan. There's a lot more to go on, so there is. But from what we've seen, it's been very encouraging.
Yeah, yeah. And Ryan, just on that, I suppose year one to year two, Jim, obviously we had the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Murphy back. Of course, we had Finbar Roty, who was going to be, you know, All-Star Young Footballer of the Year. I mean, serious injection in. But it was fairly similar outside of that, a lot of the main protagonists. But, you know, just looking at this, Ryan, and as Brendan was saying, I know it's a McKenna Cup, but these young lads that have come in, along with everyone who played well for the clubs in the Championship, they look like, and I know a lot of them have played maybe underage county in that as well, and have been in the midst of big games and high, I suppose, intensity games, but they really look like they're good to go as soon as they've come in, Ryan. So it's going to give Jim a load of options on the back of this McKenna Cup win.
Yeah, definitely. I think probably the surprise is just how well some of them have settled in, Brendan. Like, you know, when you think of the likes of Max and Turlacar and Conor McCall, like they're under 20 for this season and for next season as well. Like, you know, so like there's very few 19-year-olds that are, you know, and most of them are 18 at the minute and coming 19. You know, there's very few throughout the country, you know, that are getting the opportunity, and maybe teams are a wee bit reluctant to give them the opportunity when, you know, if they've got the football smarts for it, maybe they should be put in a wee bit earlier. It's like, I think you do have to, you know, you can't get too carried away. I think if you look back on the McKenna Cup 2 years ago, there were players tried and played in the first few games in the league and then maybe drifted away later in the year. The same thing will probably happen again. I think he said, you know, that he's looking for one or two or maybe three players that can add value later in the Championship when hopefully everybody else is back in it. But like, I definitely think he's got a lot of food for thought with how these players have come in and applied themselves. And, you know, like Brendan touched on Turlacar, like, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Donegal don't kick the ball enough. Well, you certainly couldn't say that about Turlacar, because like, he loves kicking the ball, and it's been a tonic over the last week to see it. And, you know, there's a lot of young players have really adapted as, you know, Paul O'Hare's a wee bit older. I think he's maybe 23, maybe coming 24 this year. He looked the part in the defence as well. So, yeah, I think so far, I think Donegal will be delighted with how the McKenna Cup has gone. Obviously, big step up in Croke Park this week. Maybe we'll know a wee bit more 7 days' time. But so far, so good, I would say.
Yeah, listen, totally agree. Just on that, Bryn, I'm just looking, and I mentioned you before about, maybe this will be my corner forward, I don't know, McGeehan. So he comes on against Adam, sticks the ball in the net, right? He should have two goals against Derry. First one, maybe you can understand the shot. The second one, just give him the ball. He puts it in the net. You know, like the goal's on. Just, you know, and everybody wants to score. I know that there. But really, when that option's on, I'm thinking to myself, that could really change his, obviously completely changes his stats going into each game and the round. Obviously, you were up in Healy Park and on Saturday evening, and me and you spoke, and it's interesting, man, talking about Turlacar kicking the ball. The inside man, unless it has kicked in on the first kind of phase of the attack, really everything's bottled in. So we have to have that second part of our game where either we kick it in, or as I was saying to you last night, when a team gets into a low set, that we've got a tactic where everybody pulls out of the way and make sure it's obviously our corner forwards and our full forward line that is full of beans. They've got the energy because they're not being up and down the pitch. We got to release them and let them go one-on-one, because everybody is getting one-on-one opportunities now, you know?
Yeah, but what I'm seeing, Brendan, with a lot of the kickball in, and we all want to see kickball in, so we do, and what you see a lot of the time, Brendan, is the recipient inside, if he's out in front of a man, he wins it. He nearly ends up where the kicker kicked it from. Or cornerbacks are well aware of and know that the kick is coming and get out in front, and that's a turnover, and that really doesn't sit well with management when it is kicked and it's not won by the inside. So it's very difficult to play inside in the modern game, invariably you're getting the ball coming away from goals. So your defender is going to continue to shepherd you out and not let you cut inside. So unless you can get someone straight away off the shoulder, or free someone up to come off the shoulder or take it, you know, from the ball winner, from the inside ball winner, it's very, very difficult. So it is. And listen, you know, I saw Turlock actually kick a ball. He kicked a brilliant ball into Conor McCahill. I think it was Saturday night or Wednesday night? And Conor won it. But exactly what I'm saying, Brendan, his defender was on him. He wasn't able to turn quick enough to go at him. So invariably he ended up coming back out the field and having to play the ball around, and next thing defence is set up and you're moving it around again, kind of thing. So it's something. Interestingly, and was it on Wednesday night or was it not on Sunday, a couple of times, that three games in 6 days, I'm kind of confused, but Jason McGee played inside, now not for long, but he played inside. If you have a target man like that and the likes of Shea or Owen McGeehan or these kind of guys playing off him, maybe something like that might work, but obviously that takes a lot of work on the training field, and Donegal aren't able going to be afford to leave someone like Jason McGee in the edge of the square for a long time, and that's where you're hoping when Michael comes back that maybe we can put reins in him and maybe keep him inside, kind of thing, you know.
We need him everywhere. Ryan, what do you think about that right now? I'm just thinking about developing Donegal's dangers, because we run the ball, and again, I don't want to use all Ireland final obviously as a template, but we break the lines through that hard running and we generally get in for one pointers. That's why our two pointers maybe weren't as high as other teams. But if a team pushes out on us into a certain zone, surely we need that. Maybe, as Brendan was saying, I know that direct ball inside, if it's travelling maybe 50 yards odd, if a player's coming very fast out, he ends up coming into the line. But if we get in around for that 20, 30 yard dink ball where the corner forward's swivelling, maybe slightly diagonal, and then the danger, is that something you think Donegal need to work on, just in terms of how teams are setting up? If they come a bit further out than the arc, that we can puncture them with you know, wee stab kick passes.
Yeah, I think so. Like you know, some of those kick passes, you know, they tend to be taking the forward away from goal. Can you work it where the forward is running towards goal in that situation? Like, you know, and then maybe the shot is on. It is one of those things, and you look at it, you know, and as something probably people have said is, you know, we haven't been developing those players that are used to playing close to goal, and you know, and maybe that is because of the way football has been in Donegal, and you know, players are getting balled up, and there's, you know, you're trying to get your best ball players on the pitch, so maybe you're taking them out the field, and you know, they're kind of drifting. But I suppose, like, the way with Donegal, like, I think they are trying to create those one-on-ones out the field then, you know, and there's so many people, like even the likes of, you know, Keelan McColgan, a cornerback, is, you know, if he sees somebody one-on-one, he's going to try and take him on. But I do agree with you. It's how do you get those inside men on the ball? You know, like Shane Malone got two great finishes the last day, you know, when the ball was worked into him. But, you know, it's definitely not, it's not an unorthodox corner forward role that, you know that you'll see Darragh Canavan playing or somebody like that. So I think it is something that Donegal can work on. You know, as you mentioned, Jason McGee has been floating in about full forward. If you remember back to the start of the league last year, when Michael Murphy wasn't there for the first couple of games, it was Kieran Thompson was kind of in the top three a lot of the time. So I don't know if that's necessarily a tactic, or is it just about trying to get as many of the big players on the pitch to try and win kickouts? I would expect we'll probably see Jason in around the full forward line again at different times on Saturday night. So yeah, it's maybe hard to see where we're going with that. Like, it's hard to call who will be the inside three on Saturday evening.
Definitely interesting, Brendan. That midfield battle that you mentioned there, as well, you know, again, go back to the first half of the All-Ireland final where we lost. Midfield was a massive part of that. We just didn't seem to have the power out there and the necessary tools to really take it to Kerry. That looks like a sector. You mentioned Kieran Gallagher. It's obviously going to take a big man, a bit harder to settle in coming in from the age. Whereas all those lads that you mentioned, them young lads, they're very fast, quick, sprightly. They've all played on their age, so they're kind of nearly, you know, they're good to go.
Yeah.
So working with him, you think of Jason there coming back in as well, the form of Huey. You know, two man in the matches there. So, you know, all of a sudden our midfield options look really, really strong, and it would allow you then to throw, because there's something about Jason inside. Like, big men sometimes with that lofted ball and they can lose it a bit, or they might try and grab it, but Jason seems to have that way with him, that he's really good at snatching the ball, flicking it down. He's very good on the ball when he gets it, they make a bit of room as well for a big man.
Yeah, for a big man, he's huge skill level, so he has, technically, he's brilliant. Like, you know, I've watched him up close over the years, and you
not
know,
the has, Langan, of course.
All the skills, absolutely, a Langan there too. Like, but if you go back to the All-Ireland final, and we would probably be doing this for the rest of the year if you go back to the All-Ireland final.
Jim will be like, right, boys,
shut up about it. Joe O'Connor dominated that midfield area for a period of time in the All-Ireland final that gave Kerry the kind of power to go on, to drive on in the game. And not too many down in Kerry or on the country would have fancied Joe O'Connor to have the year that he had, that he ended up having with an All-Star, etc., at the start of the year. And that's why I think there is something in Kieran Gallagher. I watched him throughout the club championship, and he's a big, powerful man. He's naturally athletic. And he does need a bit of work. Like, it is a big step up. You can't compare playing for your club to going out at the level that we want these players will be going out to, we'd say, next Sunday or next Saturday evening in Croke Park. So it's going to take a bit of work to get him there. But certainly I think the raw material is there with Kieran to add that extra option, just to have that extra option. So you know that if you're struggling in them areas, of course, big Keelan McGonigal is there too. So Donegal have the weapons in that respect. They have a lot of big men that are 6'3", 6'4", you know, in that area. And it's just getting the right mix and having the right options on any given day, because it's crucial, like, you know, to be able to retain your own kick out if you're forced to go long, and also to attack the opposition kick out, to put them under pressure if your price is right, that you can have the big men out in the middle of the field that'll be able to contest, and you can get your runners in, which Donegal have loads of too, kind of thing, you know, because of huge legs around that area, so they have. And you know, if you've that kind of balance, so you have the likes of Padraig Morgan picking ball up from under Kieran Gallagher, Hugh McFadden, Jason McGee, and driving forward, you know, you have a great start, so you have, you know.
Definitely. Yeah. Ryan, listen, I know Jerry Ryan was a wee bit before your time, but you've seen a lot of football. Ryan, can you contextualise, you know, Antrim had one of their strongest teams out against us, won easy. Whenever we stepped it up against Derry in the second half, you know, with a few experienced men coming in the park, we outscored them. It was 140 a point. We took control of the game. We then sent on a load of subs, which disrupted our flow. It allowed Derry back into it, I think. And then Monaghan, of course, who are up to Division 1. Ryan, the way we dispatched them the last night, you know, what's your read on that there in terms of where we're at versus particularly Monaghan and Derry?
Yeah. Like, I definitely think, you know, at this time of the year, we're probably a few steps ahead. But I think when those teams, you know, start to get back to the full strength, I think you'll see them improve. Probably both Brendan with the goalkeeping situation, and both, like Rory Began's going to come back into Monaghan, is going to make a huge difference. I think Derry are going to be under pressure until they sort their goalkeeping, you know, whether it's Oren Lynch or someone else. But I definitely think Derry look to be improved, look to have a wee bit more of the toughness back. Like, I wasn't surprised to see that wee flashpoint coming at half time the last day, you know, because they were, you know, they lost nearly all their games last year. They were probably too easy to play against. So it's probably they're going to try and get a mean streak back there. They've had a lot of underage success. You know, like we're chatting about underage or young players coming through. Derry are bound to have players they can bring through as well. So, yeah, like I think considering that the likes of Oisin Gallen, Michael Murphy, Sean Patton haven't been playing, like I think, you know, Donegal have coped with it well. Whereas I think with Mona in the last day, like I think you could really tell they were missing their Scotstown contingent. And I think when they come back, I think they'll be a much better team. Now, will they be good enough to take out Donegal? They had two goals out of last year and weren't able to do it, although they caused problems on both occasions. So I think Donegal are probably a step ahead of Monaghan and Derry at the moment. But, you know, there is scope for improvement for both of those teams.
Mm. Do you agree with that, Brendan? Because as Ryan was saying there, you know, Monaghan, Scotstown, I know we're both missing, and maybe more important to them, some of those players. But I just think it'd be Derry, as Ryan said, they were winless last year. You know, they're at home. That was a massive game for them. Like, they really wanted to beat us. So the fact that, you know, Donegal kind of, when they stepped it up in that second half, like if I was in the Derry squad now on that camp, I'd be thinking, that's a bit of a worry there. Like, we want to be as good as these boys. Or is it, as Ryan was saying there, we looked a wee bit of a step ahead?
We look in great shape physically. We look very fit and with a fuller run and the work rate throughout the team.
That's not to worry about, Brendan, is it? It's just...
No, it's not. I don't think so, Brendan. Yeah. I think it's too early. I think if the shoe was on the other foot, we wouldn't be overly concerned if Derry had kind of ran out stronger on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Or, of course, you want to go and win these games kind of thing, but I don't think you'd be overly concerned, Brendan, because you know you have players to come back. You're experimenting at this time of year with different type players, and that's why it's been so positive from a Donegal point of view, that the experiment has been really enjoyable, so it has through the three games, that the lads that have come in have really stepped up. But, you know, I think Donegal can do is look at their own sort of side of things. And listen, we're going in against Dublin on Saturday evening. We don't know what Dublin, like Dublin put out kind of maybe two or three regulars in their team in the O'Byrne Cup there, you know, so we don't know what you're going to be coming up against Dublin. So all you can do is look after your own, kind of concentrate on your own kind of game and how you're developing that. And, you know, that the issues that you have, that you have solutions for them. And they seem to have them running, like, you know, like Ryan mentioned, Sean Patton been out. Gavin Mulroney stepped in and did really, really well. Listen, Sean Patton isn't absolutely, he's the top kicker in the country, so he is. But to have a deputy like Gavin Mulroney to come in, that he has trained with the team for the last number of years, so they have confidence in him, they know him, they are not concerned about, you know, their keeper behind them, which is a huge thing, so it is, you know. They know he can bang the ball out 60, 70 yards, and he also can get shorts away. So, you know, he's been working with Patton over them a few years. So there are so many positives for Donegal to take out of that. I think they just concentrate on their own. Yeah, they look better than Derry, and they look better than Monaghan. Like, Monaghan brought on Ryan Miley, Desi Ward, Michael Bannigan, Stephen O'Hanlon too, you know, at halftime on Saturday evening. But it didn't really make any difference, yeah. Because what Donegal bringing on the likes of Morgan and Ryan McHugh and, you know, these lads. So, you know, they kind of superseded what Monaghan had done. And it just shows that Donegal are ahead of them. I don't think it's a concern for Monaghan. I think it's just Donegal just going about their business. And, you know, at the top of the programme, Brendan, you mentioned about the All-Ireland hangover, seems to be well gone. It doesn't seem to be Anthony Lyon there about it, like, you know.
Yeah. Top stuff, as you said, on top of Gavin Mulroney, you know, Paul O'Hare, obviously going on, has quite himself well. I'd say Max Campbell, Kieran Gallagher, Turley Kerr, Kevin Maloon, Conor McCall, Shea Malone with two goals the last day, Shannon Kerr, Owen McGeehan. All these lads are in the
Mark
mix.
Kern is another
Mark
one too.
Mark Kern's another one, that's right. He's come back in the fray. Listen, all these lads, I think, have a part to play in our season, Ryan, and no doubt you'll be there. You're up at Croke Park. Are you staying up, or are you going home early?
I would say I'll be going home early.
That's a married man.
Glory days.
Bobby now.
Glory days are over, Brendan.
Good man, Ryan. Listen, we'll see you up there, no doubt, Ryan. We'll be speaking to you as the season goes on, all right, man?
Have a good one, man.
Ryan.
Top man, Ryan. Back after a couple of minutes with the one and only Michael McMullen. Welcome back, folks. We're going to look ahead to the football leagues that are starting this weekend again. And we have some brilliant games coming up. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by... That's the first day scenario. We'll get a few tongue twisters in there. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Michael McMullen. His friends call him Mal. Mal, welcome to DL Debate 2026.
No problem. Great to be back. I think the last episode we had was in Sister Sarah's. We should have recorded Santa at his antics.
Yeah, well, there's a bad Santa out there, and I wasn't a part of that, but yeah, I heard there was a bit of fun going on with the bad Santa. No, he takes people astray, Mal. You don't need a lot of pushing, though.
No, Oisín pushed me astray the last time I was down there just before the match that didn't take place. So I was about to go home early and it ended up a late one.
It always does. That's where the crack is. Mal, tell me, fascinating leagues coming up here. Just looking straight away, where else would you want to start? But Croke Park, and of course your own men, Derry, are in there. We're in there, doubleheader on Saturday. You have the big game of Derry and Tyrone coming down the tracks after that. So listen, it's going to start with a serious bang here. And of course Meath with... all the background story to them last year. Aaron Kiernan has joined them. So, you know, you yourselves with the new Derry management, there's so much anticipation going into this year.
It's a great doubleheader, and you get a chance then, obviously, to watch Donegal and Dublin after it. So I'm looking forward to it. And as you say, like, all of a sudden, from Derry's point of view, you've got Tyrone coming the week after. And I think we all sound like a broken record at this stage, but when you've got 7 games in 9 weeks and 2 teams get relegated or promoted, there's absolutely no room for shadow boxing unless you end up safe, like at the top of Division 1. There's only time where there's any real sort of off-season as such during the league. But from Derry's point of view, lads, trying to get promoted is a massive ask. So 2 points would be, I'd bite your hand off for them right now, to be honest, because it'd be a great start to get.
Yeah, it'd be a big start, Brendan. You look at it now, I suppose, you know, you've Declan Boner's Fermanagh. We have some interest outside as well. Declan Boner's Fermanagh taking on Wexford, of course. Mark McHugh's, Westmeath, they're playing Sligo this weekend. So Galway Mayo from the Connacht men matching up. So yeah. Listen, as Mal was saying there, like the league and the interest and the new rules, you know, it's going to be another roller coaster ride going into these games, because no more than the club senior final, that late 2-pointer, there's so much drama now, particularly with the 2-pointer on tow.
Yeah, really, as Mal says too, we're looking forward to the commencement of the leagues, you know, and obviously Donegal have a huge game away to the Dubs, and we spoke briefly before the break, Brendan, we don't really know where Dublin are at. We've been impressed with Donegal, so you'd be going up optimistic enough that you can get something up there, you know, by all accounts. And the you mentioned Galway Mayo. Galway just tripped over the line in the FBD final against Mayo at the weekend, so they did. But Mayo have a lot of good young footballers, so they have, you know, and I would expect them to be there or thereabouts this year. They have a couple of players to come back. Conor Loftus back in the squad now, and Killian Connor, surprisingly enough, is back, kind of thing,
yeah,
too. So he is, you know,
back,
a few boys coming back. Matty Ruan out a bit more longer term kind of thing with an injury, and he'd be a loss because he's a big player for them in the middle of the park. But some really exciting games. I think if any team is going to struggle in Division 1 based on, you know, players that they've lost, you look the likes of Donny Smith and a couple more that have gone from Roscommon. Like, I think Roscommon, it could be a tough campaign for Roscommon ahead, so it could. Kerry.
Pulled the manager from within, Dowd fella. He was involved in different teams. He managed Roscommon in an under-21 title, I think, back in 2006 or something. But he's been involved in various backroom teams. So
Yeah. But it's you know, it is going to be a big excitement, particularly when you have to travel away back down to Kerry's for their first game, and you know their home against Monaghan in their second game. That'll be a huge game, so it will for both them sides. Yeah. You know, Monaghan, you know, we know what Monaghan bring to the table every year. We had two games against them last year, and there were scary moments, as we said, in it kind of thing. You know, 7 points down going in at half time, we were thinking, where are we going here? But they'll always battle and fight. So it's, listen, Division 1, there's never much to call it. And Division 2 is very similar too. You go the whole way down through the divisions because teams are playing at their level, so they are. And everything, you're not going to see too many, you know, hammerings, you know, in the National League. You rarely do. If you go through the results any Monday morning, you see that they're kind of fairly tight, so they are. So exciting to be getting into it. And from a Donegal perspective, you know, as I say, they can go in with a lot of hope into this league campaign and, you know, hopefully see some more of these young fellas that we saw do so well over the past week kind of thing. And, you know, McGuinness has put it out there that he just wants to develop a few players to have a few extra options to come in. Lost a couple of players off the panel from last year kind of thing. And you're looking for players that can make an impact, so you are. And, you know, hopefully from what we've seen so far that will translate, like, you know.
Yeah, and they also, Mal and his buddies poached Luke Barton. We'll get into that in a minute with Mal. Mal, just before we get into the Derry boys and your new management team, Dublin, Jared Brennan, Dean Rock, Dennis Bastic, Stephen Cluxton, quite a formidable experienced team. I mean, the amount of experience is about Dublin at the minute is unbelievable. But for Jared Brennan coming in there, he's obviously proven already, you know, life for the, was it 68 years or whatever for the Leinster one. So he's coming in, and I'm sure many people want a new, because Desi obviously inherited that unbelievable team, and it was always question marks about Jim Gavin. I think it's a fresh start now for Jared Brennan to build another, you know, one of those really, really top All-Ireland winning teams.
For sure, he's definitely the standout candidate. Like, once that became a vacancy, you just thought, well, he has to take it. He did a really good job with Louth, but I'm hearing good reports. I can't remember. It might have been on Willie's podcast. I'm not sure where it was. Maybe Morris on the Examiner pod. But I think Dean Rock's level of coaching, I think it's gone down really well with the camp. Actually, see, between Dublin and me this weekend, they're keeping us very much in the dark. Like, Niall O'Callaghan, I think, is the only player that played a bit of football last year who got time during the World Cup. And I think Meath only used three players that played against Donegal last year. They took their first choice team away to play a challenge game. So Kieran Mina and Jim McGuinness probably getting into the dark a wee bit this weekend, because you don't really know what you're going to come up against. But the Dubs in Croke Park, and as we always find, Kerry and Croke Park are always difficult assignments. So that's what's going to face Donegal this weekend. But I've been very impressed with Donegal, I have to say. I actually said it to Ryan Ferry beside me in the press box. I think these young fellas is exactly what Donegal need right now. I'm looking across with a wee bit of envy, because you were chatting with the amount of minor teams we've had, but if you look back at last year's Macquarie Cup final, none of the Mahara boys are ready, but you have three of the Abbey boys are in, and then Ada and Rorty from last year. So whatever has been done in the school structure around Donegal and whatever has been done to get the lads' level of conditioning up to speed is brilliant. And I think this game is absolutely perfect for Donegal, because if Jim's talking down the lines of, he didn't use the words transition, but he's sort of hinting at it that way. Thompson's injured. McBearty has retired. I think Oisin Gallen had an operation at some point, and we don't really know what the story is with Michael Murphy. So there's three or four spots up for grabs in a forward line, and potentially there'll be one or two available come championship time. So it's a case of, lads, get your hands up if you want to play. Yeah. And I think that's what makes this weekend really exciting for me, because I suppose I'm looking across the border into Donegal, because I would cover it quite a bit, and would have covered sort of, I suppose, Abbey and Four Masters over this past couple of years, seeing what they're going to bring. But at the same time, as you touched on, like Dublin or like even the level of expertise in that management team, like it's not as if there's some young fella in the Dublin panel who's cutting his teeth, he just has to look across the white line and he'll see about 1,000 Ireland medals. Do you know, so the boys know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And Mal, just on your own management team, obviously the Loch McCrory crew have come over, obviously pulled off the magic in Tyrone. Mina obviously has won an Ulster already, but there when he took over that year from Gallagher. You know, Luke Bardisay joining him again, Marty Boyle, who's won minor All-Ireland by Derry, you know, Chrissy McCaig's, and is Benny Herron in as well, is he?
Benny's in, yeah.
I mean, that's a fair management team, Mal.
It is a fair management team. He's got, including himself, he's got 16 on his management team, and I think he's worked with them all before. And none of them, like Chrissy McCaig is high profile from the point of view of what he has won as a player, and Benny Herron would be the same. And Luke Parrott's probably high profile in the fact he was involved with Donegal on the way to an All-Ireland final. But by and large, it's all a crowd of lads who don't seem to have a wild lot of ego. They all seem to be in around the thing together. They're close. So that definitely does help. Kieran Amina seems to have built a management team where they all know each other really well and trust each other. So I just hope that's something that's going to be a good set of foundations, because I suppose Derry over this past couple of years has been a wee bit like sort of Man United, chopping and changing managers, and you don't really know where you're at. So now you've got a sort of a safe pair of hands with, I suppose, people underneath him, Brenton, that he knows what they can do. And for me, he's the man to take the job. I've said it on a few podcasts. I would love it if there's a Derry man managing Derry. Maybe that's where Chrissy and Benny Herron follow down the line. But for now, with Kieran having worked in Derry basically his whole life in St. Columb's Strapperstown, he's nearly half established. So definitely a very good man to have at the wheel. So fingers crossed we can get a few results, because last year was difficult. It was like therapy on here on a Monday night talking about football, talking away your problems.
Hopefully it wasn't as bad as United. No, that's a tough comparison. Bren, listen, just on the Derry management team, you know Luke Baird very well.
Yeah.
He's a coach to Gillard, and I know he has great time view. Donegal haven't replaced him. You know, no one has come in to fill that void. And, you know, certainly as you know from him, he's, you know, he would have been an integral part of the team. Are you a bit surprised at that?
I kind of am, to be honest with you, yeah. You know, because I think, you know, he would have played a huge role last year. He'd done a lot of the analysis. He loves it. Like, he's totally besotted with the whole Gaelic Games thing. Yeah, so yeah. He's just obsessed with it. So he is. So he would put in huge hours. So he was looking at videos, doing all that kind of work. And, yeah, I was lucky to work with him for 4 years with the minors and a year of the 20s kind of thing. And I would rate him a really, really good coach now. Very smart, very into it, like will leave no stone unturned, and passionate about it, and, you know, has done a lot of studies in this respect too.
Well,
in the back of it, he's done a master's.
Goes,
yeah,
he goes and does another one.
Yeah, but you know, these guys just he's sponge for information. Yes, so he is, yes. And wants to keep learning and be a better, and aspirations to be a top coach. So yeah, he has. So yeah. It is a surprise, you know, that he left Donegal to go into Derry, but you can see it because he's a brilliant relationship. I know that he's a great relationship with Mina, and obviously the work and, you know, what they did with Loch McGrory this year is huge too. So, you know, I think he will be a huge benefit to Derry. And, you know, as long as it's not at Donegal's expense, you're with it.
There you go. A lot of secrets in there, Mal. Yeah. We're careful. Mal, so for Donegal and Derry, Mal, just we're sticking with them. Obviously, the Tyrone game, I'd love to talk to you about when the next game up Derry, Tyrone, would be massive. But For Donegal, what do you think it is, Mal? Just like a lot of Division 1 teams, stay in Division, let these young players unearth. And for Derry, is coming up vital, do you think? Or again, is it a bit like Donegal, unearth and build a style of play? And I suppose on the back of last season, this just won some matches.
I'll start with Donegal on that one. I think freshness and competition for places is their number one ingredient, because you were talking about a Donegal hangover. I think the only hangover was the one I had on the Harcourt Hotel that next morning when they were trying to come to terms with getting home. But I definitely think freshness and trying to, you know, because if Jim's been there for 3 years and a lot of the players have been there for a lot of that, it's fresh faces they need. And I'm with Benton Kilcoyne in this one, with the likes of Turlough Carr. Like that kick pass he put into Dara Wheel for a score in the first half against Derry. Like, that is just, that could completely change what Donegal do if you have somebody that can do that. Now, I know he's very inexperienced, but like, that vision's there. So I actually said it to Jim after the game the other night, but he didn't really take me on. But I think the young fellas could give them something different. Mm. You know, I definitely do, because what they do at the moment is actually really good. Like, it's got them to an All-Ireland final. I think they just ran out of man markers. They just didn't have the men to mark the men. So maybe Max Campbell scored a goal that pulled four Masters out. Sorry, I get this right. Niamh Connell out of the fire that day in O'Donnell Park.
Yeah.
And then the other night, like, Ethan Doherty is Derry's assists king, and he did a really good job on him. So Jim won't have missed that. So he might be the man to mark the playmakers come the summer. So he might have got a few more options. So that's where Donegal sit. And, you know, I suppose they've got that hurt. And Dara Buell, after the last game, talked about they just had to park it, like they've literally parked it, and they have to. But to move it on, I definitely think that if he can, if come the end of the league and they sit down to have their debrief after the last league game, and they're able to sit down with the management team and say, if we're level with somebody in an All-Ireland quarter-final and we need fresh men, have we got them? So can Shane Malone come on and do what he does with that two-pointer he did in the county final? If he can find a wee bit of that, I think it'll be a league well spent. From Derry's point of view, I would say that promotion would be excellent. Relegation would be a disaster, because the last time Derry went down the division, they ended up going to the very bottom of the ladder. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. But I don't think it would be the end of the world if Derry didn't get promoted, to be honest with you, because they're probably slightly like Donegal in terms of they need new blood as such. But my biggest concern for Derry is when I left the Donegal game last weekend, there was 48 kickouts in that game and Derry only won 18 of them. Now, albeit they only lost by 2 points, but they're going to have to get to the stage where if they don't have size in the middle, like, they don't really have fielders as such. That's just the way it has been.
Yeah.
They're going to have to squeeze as much as they can out of whatever possession they have. You know, so that's the worry I would have for Derry going to Croke Park against the skyscrapers of Meath. And then if you look at Gavin Mulroney, did you say Brentley had 100% success rate in his kickouts? But he was kicking off left and right foot. I think he's a massive plus for them.
Yeah.
And Derry's lost over an inch. Ryan Scullion played against Antrim and was very good in his kickouts. Young McGuckin, who played against Donegal, got caught out a couple of times, but he didn't have an awful lot to hit, which would be a concern for Derry going forward. But as you're chatting there about Luke Bart and Mina and the level of research they would do, unless they just didn't put anything out in the spotlight, because I was on the We Are Meath podcast last week and they were saying that Robbie Brennan was in Celtic Park last week. He wasn't happy just to watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
So he was there to have a look at Donegal and Derry. So maybe from that point of view, that Derry just wanted to keep whatever wee bit of magic they had away from the cameras, which hopefully is the case, because the league is going to be very important for both sides. Mm. And I suppose to answer your question, I would love to get promoted. But if we ended up we're not promoted, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But winning games, blooding players and getting back to the level of challenging for an Ulster title again, that would be where I would want to see it at. But the unfortunate thing is, as we all know, whenever that you don't win a game last year, the keyboard warriors are never far away.
Yeah.
And you lose a couple of games and you know yourself, it ends up tricky.
I think it'll be a different season. I would have faith in them men involved, and I think it's probably no harm.
I would too, to be fair. Probably
better side Ulster draw as well. They could make a final. Listen, Mal, as ever, thanks so much, Michael McMahon, Gaelic Life there, for wrapping that up, that preview. Appreciate it.
No problem. No,
chat soon. I'll chat to you soon. Right, Brendan Kilcoyne, top class. I'll be back after this break with Niall Cleary. Yes, folks, welcome back to DL Debate, the final segment. We're on the hurling here with Niall Cleary. Niall, are you hearing us loud and clear?
Yeah, I've got you, Brendan. How's the form?
Good man.
Good to chat to you again.
Niall, 100%. Niall, listen, we spoke just last week. I sent you a couple of messages as it'd be about, and you were informing me first before we get into anything that you're taking up a coaching role with Derry.
Yeah, that's it, Brendan. I'm in coaching Derry at the moment. I suppose I kind of had a bit of relationship with Johnny McGarvey, the manager, over the last couple of years, and kept in touch with him and spoke to him around Halloween time last year, and so been in with them since in November last year. So yeah, really enjoying it. It's great learning from someone experienced like Johnny, and then you're working with top class players, you know, players like Schlockney lads and Lavi lads who are going deep in Ulster, things like that. So yeah, really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, good man. And so that's you're up to Owen Beg a few times a week, a bit of trucking to be done for you, a bit of mileage.
It's not used to it, Brendan. I'm used to it because I'm about an hour from Satantany. I live in Dunfanaghy now, so yes. I'm well used to travelling for training. It's no different.
Yes, good man. And tell me that just from the pre-season comp, it was another tight Donegal Derry tussle that came down to the wire, and that last minute goal, Chris McNaughton crashing it into the net with a packed goal mouth. I mean, a nice way to win it, but what did you make of the game overall?
Yeah, I think it was when both teams look back on it, they'll both be happy that it was a good competitive game. Like, they'll both be disappointed in certain aspects. But the main thing was to guess. Both teams, I'm sure, wanted to get to the final to get those three games and build it up to the league and get a good competitive fixture. And when you're playing Donegal and Derry, it's always and traditionally kind of close the last few years. So same thing again, Donegal will probably be disappointed in the end that they didn't see it out. Probably just maybe didn't put Derry away when they had the chances in the second half, and just, you know, Derry just kept hanging in and finished strong then. And Christy obviously got the goal. He's a great striker of a ball, and he had one earlier in the game where the ref kind of took it back, but he finished this one well.
Mm, your buddy Jared Gilmore was hitting the ground running as ever.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Problem is, they probably need him in a couple of positions. You know, he was moving about. He was out in the half forward line. He was inside for a while. Brilliant. He hit a couple of monster frees from 90 or 100 metres, couple of points from play. He's one of the top forwards in Ulster, definitely.
Yeah, and we were just chatting there, going into the new season there, and the more to Mickey, you know, unearthing players and getting players in. He did mention just in his interview about conditions and that, and around possibly playing a couple of games in December to get you into the McGurk. Do you think that's a good idea in terms of trying to get it, or are players, do they need to be in the new year?
It's difficult, like in Derry anyway, it's difficult because you have two or three teams going into Ulster campaigns. So it's difficult to get a full squad out, and you've injuries and then things. In Donegal, you had the same this year, like it's Satanta and Burt both in Ulster competitions in clubs. So I don't know if they would have had the numbers to be playing any more games in December, and boys coming off the back of club season trying to get right. I think the McGurk Cup is probably, in my opinion anyway, is probably enough. Now, he's probably looking at that. He has new players in. They're down a few off the panel from last year, and he's probably trying to get them ready for the league and ready for the year inter-county hurling. So he's probably looking at it from that point of view.
Yeah. And certainly, I suppose we were just chatting about the football. Donegal are up a division. Derry are one below. It's the opposite way around in the hurling. So, listen, two big campaigns coming up for your own men and for Donegal in 2 and 3.
Yeah, it'll be big. I'm sure Donegal will be looking to get off to a good start if Tyrone away next weekend, and that's always a tough game. Like, Tyrone are really kind of physical, really in your face, honest team, always have been. And I think Donegal are probably a better hurling team, and if they can meet that kind of physicality and meet the work rate, I think they're a better hurling team. And if they can get off to a good start there, then the Fermanagh at home the following week, and you know, all of a sudden you're looking up the table rather than looking down the table. So I know Mickey, he'll definitely be looking to get off to a good start next weekend and put them in a good position going into a break in week three, I think. So he'll be looking to get two wins on the board early.
Armagh then at home after. So you've back-to-back home games, so I suppose that'll tell a big tale whether you're going to push for promotion for Donegal in terms of you can beat Tyrone, win those two home matches, then you're in a great position.
Yeah, all of a sudden you've real momentum built up behind you, you know, and you're going into playing those, what I would consider maybe tougher games against your Louds and your Wicklows with a bit of confidence and a bit of momentum. And those younger players and new players who've come back into the panel have that confidence and exposure built up. So, yeah, I think and the home games will be key. Like you said, those two there against Fermanagh and Armagh in particular, really key games to be getting points in those games.
You've some tasty sides in your own division still. We've seen some, you know, jumped up to the next level from some teams in that division, you know, notably obviously Kerry's and Leash's, and you always know London can have anything over there in any given year. So it's going to be a campaign. You're going to really have to hit the ground running very quickly, you know.
Yeah, Kerry at home, Celtic Park on Saturday now, so we'll be really targeting that one to get off to a good start. And then we've Leash away, which is going to be, you know, exciting challenge playing teams like that. Leash have been in the All-Ireland series not too long ago. They've lost a couple of Joe McDonough finals in the last couple of years. And then Westmeath are in that as well. So you'd imagine Leash and Westmeath will be kind of the top two teams, and everybody else will be the chasing pack. You have Mayo there as well, with all the Turin lads will be back, I'm sure. Meath, and like you said, London had a really, really strong team last year, beat Derry in that Christy Ring final, that top players from Cork, Kilkenny. But like you said, their manager's gone. You just don't know what you're going to get with London from year to year. So that'll be just watching games and figuring out at the start what way they're fixed. But it's an exciting challenge being in that division and playing that kind of level of hurling. But our boys have kind of played at that level anyway. You know, you have the Schlachtneen lads there who are going to that kind of top level every year. Lavi got to an Ulster final this year. So our lads are kind of used to playing at a high standard as well. So I'm sure they'll be looking forward to testing themselves even more.
Yeah, and now listen, fair play to you. I think, you know, you're going to be a great addition to Derry, and then you'll come back to Donegal and you'll take us over then when you've done your time up in Derry. Is that the plan?
There's no, you know, Brendan and GAA and stuff like that. There's no plan.
Not to put you in the spot. No. Now, listen, 100%. Listen, obviously, no more than there's different Donegal lads coaching here, there, and everywhere. We'll be keeping an eye, especially out them now that they're involved and they're in the background there. So, listen, I want to wish you all the best in the season coming up.
Thanks, Brendan. Talk soon.
Appreciate it. That's Niall Cleary there. Right. Just looking ahead to the hurling for the season. Always great to catch up with Niall. Coming up on the show now, coming up after the show, we have the one and only Paul and Trudy's here. The lovely Trudy and the lovely Paul. Joe Dex, thanks for producing. As ever, everybody, thanks for tuning in. We will keep the DL debate going. The new season has started. I'll speak to you next week.